We've been doing a little series on the Bible. This is, I think, our fourth lesson, and we're going to talk tonight about the Bible and our enemy. The verse we're using, and actually we're going to use this portion of scripture in a few minutes, that we've been using as a kind of a jumping board, is Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." Let's pray this evening. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time we have here, Lord, to gather around your word, to be strengthened and encouraged as a church family. I pray, Lord, you be with us tonight for our brief time. Teach us from your word about your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will not go real long because we do have our Sunday school meetings afterwards. And I understand on a Thursday night, many of you come straight from work. You don't really have a lot of time. If you went home, you basically just had enough time to go home and get dressed to get here. The children have school tomorrow, and I still have school-age children. I'm junior high in high school, and I also got one in grade school. That's one there too. So I know how that is. And so we'll get into it quickly on Thursdays and make sure we're not here too late so you can get home, get ready, and so forth. Now, we've been talking about the Bible. We've been giving you some surveys each week. A survey asked people how often, if they read their Bible, not necessarily if they did this, but they just asked them, how often would you need to read your Bible before you feel you would be satisfied? 29% of those questions said daily or more they would need to read it to be satisfied. 40% said once a week or more. 12% said once a month or more. 19 said less than monthly would be fine. That means 71% of them said that they felt they would be satisfied with their Bible reading if they did not do it every day.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of where we're at spiritually in our country. And I hope you understand that over the course of the last few weeks, I've really encouraged you, particularly from the beginning of the year, to make sure that this year, more than any other, get in your Bible. Okay. Get in your Bible. This is day number 9, okay? So you should be, if you're following the church Bible reading plan, Genesis chapter 27, you say, no, I've already maybe fallen behind or I didn't get started. Hey, it's only 9 days, okay? So what you do is get your Bible reading schedule. If you need one, let us know. We'll get you one. And for the next 9 days, if you didn't start, you could read 2 portions a day for 9 days and you'd be caught up, okay? And so, I really encourage you, we've got to get in our Bible. We don't want to be like the vast majority of Christians. The more we get into the Bible, the more our knowledge will increase, and the more we know. We want to make it a regular habit of our life. We're getting into the Bible so regularly that it just becomes a part of who we are.
Amen.
I read a story about a great missionary. I read a couple of his biographies many, many years ago, and they were very inspiring. His name was Jonathan Goforth. He was a missionary in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to China. And as he got towards the end of his life, his eyes grew dim, and he had a hard time seeing, and he could not read the Bible on his own. So they would have Bible college students come each day and read the Bible to him. And as he sat there, a very old gentleman, without the aid of an eyesight, a college student would read. You know, when people occasionally read, they'll skip a word or a phrase, or sometimes they would skip a verse. And Jonathan Goforth's wife said every time that they would miss a word or a phrase or a verse, he would stop them and say, "No, no, no, you missed this." And he would fill them in.
Amen.
Not even necessarily that he had memorized so much, but he had read it and been in it so many times, he knew when something was missing.
Amen.
And I would hope that that would be our desire, to get into God's Word and start to learn it and make it a part of our life.
Yes, sir.
He recognized the error. Now, by way of introduction here, when it comes to our appetite for the Word of God, our spiritual appetite is really the opposite of a physical appetite. What do I mean by that? Physical appetite, the less we have, the more we need and the more we want. Okay, you go a day, maybe most of us a day or two. Let's just stop. You go a meal or two.
Well.
Let's back up. You go an hour or two.
Well.
You go 10 minutes. You go a little while without eating. What happens? You're hungry. It's time to eat. We better get at it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going on here? I'm getting cranky, right? men. Women are a little kinder in that sense. That's a physical appetite. But you know, a spiritual appetite is the opposite. The more we get into the Word of God, the more we're going to want it.
Amen.
It creates more of a desire, not less. We should never get like, hey, that was great, I'm done. You know? It's not like a book. You read it one time and say, been there, done that, let's move on.
Come on.
Okay? The more we get the Word of God, the more we're going to want to get in. And the fact that if we don't feel we need the Bible in our life, it's a result of us not getting into it. And when we don't get into the Bible, our desire is then weakened. Okay? And so, you say, well, how do I get that desire back? If I'm losing that desire, get into it. Once you get into it, you'll be fine. Okay? But we need to have a thirst for the Word of God. Now, for tonight's lesson, we need to understand that the spiritual life, the Christian life, is really a spiritual warfare. What does it mean when we say it's spiritual warfare? Well, let's to make it easy. It means we have an enemy. Okay? When you are in a battle, you're in a battle because you have an enemy standing on the other side. Now, the moment you got saved, the moment you became a Christian, you acquired an enemy.
Right.
You say, well, he was an enemy before. Yes, he probably was, but not to the same extent because you were on his team.
Come on.
He had you at the bank.
Come on.
But now that you're saved, you have an enemy. There are many people that believe that when it came to World War II, that and conspiracy theorists and so forth, and I'm not going to get into it, but they feel that we knew the Japanese were going to bomb us, and we let it happen so that we could get involved in the war. Some feel that's how it was. Some feel that's how it wasn't. You know, and there's conspiracies about everything, okay? The bottom line of it is this. Regardless of what people thought, the day that they bombed us, the war was on.
Yeah.
It wasn't a matter of did we know or did we didn't know, did we not know. It doesn't matter. They bombed us. They started a war. We're in.
Yeah.
Okay? Say, so, well, by the way, it's stupid. I'm not getting on bumper stickers, but, you know, abolish war. That sounds so nice. But if someone's standing over you pounding your head in, how do you abolish that?
Come on.
You abolish that by grabbing their face and jamming it into the ground as hard as you can. That's a nice concept, and we're not war mongers, but if someone's after you, you got to stand up.
Right.
Now, spiritually speaking, we are in battle. We have an enemy. His name is Satan.
Yeah.
Look on your sheet there. 1 Peter 5:9. Be sober. Okay, that doesn't mean go to RU on Friday night, all right?
Come on,
serious. By the way, you should be sober, just to let you know that. Thanks for coming. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, by the way, Satan cannot get everybody. He's looking for whom he can devour. And if we are right and we're spiritual, we can stand up to his attacks. He is a defeatable enemy.
Yeah.
He does not have to win. Oh, you know, it was just too strong, and I couldn't make it. Not true. Okay? With God's power and God's spirit, if you're right with him, the devil, although he is a strong foe, he can be defeated.
Amen.
Now, let's look at two things when it comes to Satan, our enemy, and his relationship to the Word of God. First thing is this. The Bible is something that Satan fights. Satan fights. Why? It's God's authority in our life. By the way, we think in our society, being anti-authority is cool. Just a rebel. I do my own thing, just like everybody else. Okay? That, we think it's cool. By the way, there's nothing cool about that. Nothing cool. It's actually satanic. Okay. And as Christians, we brought that into our Christian life. The Bible is the authority.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what we think.
Yeah. Come on.
That's your interpretation. It's not your interpretation.
Come on.
Okay. You know, some people, I had teenagers, there was something there. But you know, she's at my household. You know, I know that they did that, but I just don't believe that. I'm like, really? I said, show me. Tell me why you don't believe it. Well, you know, that's just your... You know why she didn't believe it? Because she didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
and she couldn't sit there and explain. And by the way, she could have explained to me where that principle was wrong. I changed. She just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Satan fights it because it's the thorn in our life. Look at Genesis. This is part of a message we preached a few weeks ago, this portion of scripture, but we'll look at it for here. Satan fights the scripture. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. No introductions. No, how are you doing? Hey, did God really say that? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You sure that's what you heard? Is that right? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, which is true, neither shall you touch it, which is false, lest you die. God did not say that. She added it. Why? Because she's confused. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Boy, he jumped on that quick, didn't he?
Yeah.
As soon as there was a little doubt, she added something, he's like, boom! You're not going to die. It's not true. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof that your eyes shall be opened. You'll be enlightened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The word knowing literally means deciding. You'll be like God. You can decide what is right and wrong for your life. That's why he fights the Bible. Because he knows if we do what we want to do, life is going to be a mess.
Right.
We'll find that out in a minute. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, her eyesight's fault, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so they disobeyed God. Why? Satan fights the word of God. Now we do not have to be ignorant of the strategy of Satan. If you know what your enemy is doing, it is a whole lot easier to combat them.
Yeah.
That's why when I used to coach some of our teams, if we were playing a team and there was a local game, we would go watch the game to coach the other team to figure out what they were doing. Okay? We used to play football. We played against Lancaster. And they had this little Filipino running back kid. The kid was lightning quick, and he really was their whole offense. They would fake a run to him, and he'd run as fast as he could up the line, and they would fake a handoff, and everybody would go to him, and it would make it clear on the outside. So I watched the game, and I saw that little Filipino kid run as fast as he could, and I came up with a strategy. I told one of our linebackers, I said, every time that kid runs up the middle without the ball, you hit him as hard as you possibly can. Legally. You block him. So here comes a kid in the first play. He's running at full speed. He thinks he's going to the line. The other team let him go. Our guy just ran. I said, don't even worry about getting the ball. Block him. He just clocked him. Now the kid got, he helped him up. We were Christians. I always told the guys, you knock him down, you help him up, say better luck next play, okay? Can I just tell you something? After three or four times of that, that kid didn't run through the line very fast.
Come on.
In fact, he went kind of slow. So it's like, all right, he's out of the game because he was scared to death. I wouldn't have known that unless I went and scouted and figured out, hey, that's what they're doing. That's what's working for them. Satan has a plan.
Yeah.
Okay? God lets us in on his plan in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians there. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. By the way, if we are ignorant of his devices, it's because we're not in the Word of God and we can't recognize what he's doing. We see some of the strategy. First of all, letter A on your sheet there. He diluted God's word. He tried to dilute it. Did God say that? Okay? You sure about that? I mean, is everything in line there? He undercuts our faith in God's word. Whenever he can undercut a faith in our word, then we start to have doubts. Years ago, I worked in the warehouse. They used to let us listen to, we had our little station, we could listen to radio. There was another guy that was a Christian there. He goes, I got a tape here you might want to listen to while you're working. It's about the Word of God. He did not come from our type of church. I said, okay, I'll listen to it. I started listening to it. The guy that was up preaching said, now, you know, the Bible's true about 99%.
What?
I reached over, and I clicked, turned it off, and I didn't listen to it anymore. Why? Now, if it's 99% true, what's the 1% that's not true?
Come on.
I need to know. You know what I'm saying? I need to know. Because sure enough, I'll get that 1%. Is it salvation? Okay, is it about faith? What's missing? That casts doubt. All the Bible is true. Every word of God is true. And anything that undercuts our faith just makes doubt. A lot of people question God's word without ever reading it. A lot of people will question the Christian faith and they've never studied it.
Come on.
There was a man, his name was Lew Wallace. Lew Wallace was on a train, and this is many, many, many years ago. And he met a man named Robert Ingersoll. Robert Ingersoll was a very famous agnostic, atheist, anti-Christian. And so was this Lew Wallace. And so that they're riding on the train talking, Ingersoll said, you know, you ought to write a book that debunks Christianity. And that broke down. He goes, you know what, I think I'm going to do that. So he started researching from this book and come to find out Christianity was true. How many ever heard the story of Ben-Hur?
Yeah.
Famous novel. I've never seen it. I've not read it. But I heard it's a story about Christ. That was written by Lew Wallace after he got converted. Okay. There was another man. His name was Lee Strobel. He was an investigative reporter in Chicago. His wife was a Christian, and that irritated him. He was not a Christian, and so he did the same thing. He goes, I'm going to investigate. I'm going to write a book that proves that Christianity and Christ are true. And after studying it, he found out it was true, and ended up writing a series of books proving that the resurrection and Christ are real. The Bible is true.
Amen.
Okay? But most people just, you hear something, or they hear something that's fallen, they never study it. Listen, something as important as our eternal destiny, our eternal soul, our eternal life, you think we might want to study up on it a little bit. Okay? Don't just believe everything. Get in the Word of God. Find out what it says. What is the result that happened when Eve decided, when we question God's word in our mind? When we start to question God's word in our mind, what happens is we start to neglect the good. Okay? Eve said she left out the word freely. God said that they could freely eat of all the trees of the garden. She said, oh, we can eat of the trees of the garden. That's a little more restrictive. See, when we start to doubt God's word, we start to see it as being restrictive. We don't see that what God says is for our good.
Right.
And it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't. It's not taking away from our life. It's adding to our life.
Amen.
And then we overstate the negative. She added, "Neither shall you touch it." Now, it probably was a good idea not to touch it. If you're not going to eat it, why would you touch it? But God never said that. And so they're adding things, and she gets all confused. Satan does that. He dilutes God's word. Letter B. We see he denied God's word. When we start to doubt, Satan jumps in and says it's not true. Doubt will always lead to a denial. And then when we deny God's word, it eventually comes out in the way that we live. If we doubt in our mind, we will deny it in the way we live. Okay? We doubt it. Now most of us here say, well, I'm a Christian. I would never doubt God's word. You know, when it comes to my salvation, but you doubt the practical aspects of God's word. Okay? And so what we do is we change what we believe. For most Christians in this world, particularly our country, we live like practical atheists. If my life, because I'm saved, is no different than someone who doesn't even believe in God, then something's desperately wrong.
Come on, amen.
Okay? Something's wrong. It ought to make a difference. It ought to be a part of our life. And we ought to make it a part of our life. And then we see, letter C, he defied God's words. He said, you will be as gods, knowing good or deciding good and evil. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, the Bible doesn't need to be your authority. God's holding out on you. Disobey him. Take the fruit. You're in charge. Authority issue. Everything, most problems we have in life, is an authority issue. That's why there's so many Bibles. The fact of the matter is, you can take a lot of the newer Bibles and you can prove just about anything if you really wanted to. Most of the Bibles, you can't even prove the virgin birth anymore. By the way, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
One of these new hip, cool pastor guys came out and said, what's the big deal about it? What if we find out, what if we find some historical document that says Jesus had a physical father? And he goes, and let's just pretend his name is Frank. If Jesus ended up having a physical father and his name is Frank, would that really change anything for Christians? His conclusion is, no, it wouldn't. Well, I have news for you. I was going to say you're an idiot, but I don't know if that's me. He's retarded.
Come on. Yeah.
If Jesus was born of a man, then he is a sinner. Jesus, if he was a sinner, when he died on the cross, he died for his sins.
Yeah.
And if he had to die for his sins, he could not die for your sins. Let's pack up and go home. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah,
okay, it's a big deal.
Yeah, sir.
It's kind of a Bible doctrine, too.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's where we're at. Now we just cast things to the side because it interferes with the way we want to live. And as we mentioned, because of this, and because Eve bought into it, now she had to live her life based on her own sight, making decisions based on her appetite, making her decisions based on what appealed to her, making decisions based on her desire, and making her decisions based on her pride, what she feels is right. By the way, the problem with all those is they're probably all going to wreck our lives.
Yeah.
When we live our lives by our own sight, by only what we can tell, we are in for a world of hurt. We need someone outside of ourselves that knows what's going on to tell us, hey, this is how you're supposed to live. Hey, that's not good for you. Hey, that's real good for you. Okay? That's how it works. Do we want to live our lives like that? I don't know about you. I'm not a Mormon. I don't want to be a God.
Yeah.
I can hardly take care of myself now. I don't want to take care of a whole planet. Because the way I take care of it is blow it up, move on, and let's start over.
Amen.
Okay? You know, I'll probably blow myself up. Bottom line, Satan is fine with us as long as we are making decisions in our life. That's why he fights the Bible. He does not want God to have any foothold in our life. And so he fights it. Number two, the Bible is something also that Satan flees. Look at the verses there. Matthew chapter 11. This is the temptation of Christ. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. You think? And after about 4 hours, it's time to bring the dish. Jesus fasted for 40 days. So here he is. He's going to be tempted by the ultimate tempter. At the ultimate time of physical weakness. But he was able to get through it. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if, you always hear a hiss when you hear that, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, Satan tempts us by our lust, our desires. Guess what Jesus would have really, his body would have really craved at that time? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have made it food. I would have said, hey, command that this be made pizza or something. Okay, dive in. Okay. But Jesus said, no, that's not how it's going to work. He answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of God. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, up at the top, and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now Satan is going to quote scripture. Well, you know, I knew somebody, they said something, and they used a verse in the Bible. Yeah, they did. They probably misused it. Jesus wants everybody rich. Someone should have told Paul. Jesus wants everybody healthy. Paul didn't get there, did he? And if thou be a son, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot upon a stone. It's like, hey, Jesus, jump off here. Because the Bible says that the angels will make sure you won't even hurt your foot against a rock. You wouldn't stub your toe. So if you jump off here, the angels will kind of fly down with a little trick and pony show. Boom! Hey, thank you. Be here all week. Okay? That type of thing. Well, the problem with that is Satan left out, a phrase in the Bible. In all thy ways. What does that mean? As long as Jesus is in God's will, then we're supposed to do it. Okay? By the way, you can't tempt God. I'm indestructible until the day God is finished with me. Not if you jump off a 10-story building.
Yeah.
God wants you to be 70 and you jumped off a 10-story building when you were 50, they're going to be scraping you up off the sidewalk. Okay? Don't be tempting God. Jesus says that. Jesus said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil shall take him up to a seeming high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto them, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. No need to go to the cross. I'll give it to you. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Basically saying, all right, we're done here. We've had enough. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. We see several things in this story here that Satan flees. First of all, I want you to see Christ's condition here. Now, I will say this. When Jesus was tempted, he was led of the Spirit. Okay? By the way, temptation is not a sin. Giving in to temptation is a sin.
There you go.
Now, by the way, if you put yourself in temptation, that's your fault, not God's.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus did tell us, lead us not into temptation. And sometimes in the course of our life, things just come up, and we got to stand up and not be mean-spirited, but stand up for right. Is that not true? You're at work, and something comes along, you just stand up kindly. I'm not doing that. But if you put yourself in a bad situation, you put yourself where God didn't never intended for you to be, watch out.
Yeah.
The temptation might be too strong. But just because you're tempted is not sin. Giving into it, or messing, or contemplating it could get you in trouble. Jesus was led up in the Spirit. And as I mentioned before, Christ's condition, it came at a very weak time. By the way, Satan knows when we're at our weakest. Satan knows what it is that will get to us. And so that's where he pricks at us. He'll get us at that weakest moment, and he'll get us in that weakest area. And if he blends the two together, and we're not careful, get ourselves in trouble. Christ's condition. You see the verse there which we already mentioned. James, it tells us we're tempted when we're drawn away, enticed really, of our own lust, and enticed. It's from our lust, our desires. Satan goes to that area. So we see Christ's condition. We must hasten. Letter B, we see Satan's attack. Satan's attack. By the way, remember this. Satan is a liar. He does not like the truth, and so the only way to get us off of the truth is to get us to believe a lie. Look at the verse there in John. It says, John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust and desires of the father you will do. Now he's going to explain what Satan is like. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not from the truth. Satan was the kind of guy, he fled from the truth. He wouldn't want to be anywhere around it. Because there is no truth in him. He actually is a being that is free of the truth. The truth has nothing to do. It's not inside of him at all. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar, the father of it. He falsifies the truth. Satan is nothing more than a liar.
Amen.
Okay? By the way, sometimes people are like that too. That's why he says, let God be true and every man a someone says something that contradicts what the Bible says, let God be true and let them be a liar. Okay? But Satan's a liar. And he questions. He uses the word, if thou be the Son of God. Three times, if. Why? It's a whole doubt thing. He questioned Jesus as God's Son. If you are really the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Prove to me you are who you are. Jesus wouldn't fall for it. He questioned God's word. Okay, really? Jesus, if you're the Son of God, here's what the scripture says. You won't even dash your foot against a stone. He questioned God's word, but he wasn't honest. He didn't tell all of God's word. Okay, he left some of it out. He misquoted it. And then he was questioning God's plan in the third temptation. He said, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. I'll give you the world. All you got to do is fall down and worship me. He offers a shortcut. You know. By the way, a lot of sin is nothing more than a shortcut.
Yeah.
Doing what we're supposed to, not doing what may be okay to do later on when we're not really supposed to be doing immorality and so forth and so on. But he offers him a shortcut. He didn't want him to fall his plan. So we see Satan's attack. Letter C, we see Christ's defense. Now this is it right here. How did a Jesus fight Satan? Okay? What did he say? What's the key phrase? It is written. He didn't say, watch my power. I'm sending you back, cowboy. No. He didn't do something. He said, it's written. It's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the God. He just answered the scripture. Okay? You think if Jesus, God in the flesh, the all-powerful, almighty, creative God, fought Satan with scripture, don't you think it's a good idea for us? You know, that temptation, that sin was too strong. No, not if you have God's word.
Amen.
Okay, that's what Jesus used. That's why he gave it to us. He knew God's word. By the way, it's hard to tell Jesus it's written if you don't know what's written. Okay? You got to know it. If you don't know it, it's no good. You know, it's not just like, yeah, I got a Bible right here. What's in it? Stuff. Stuff. Wow, that's impressive. All kinds of stuff. Wonderful. How's that going to help? You know, the Bible is our ammunition. And the more we know it, the truths get in our mind. When these situations come, we know what to fight with. That's the principle for God's Word. That's what God's Word tells me. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, is there to help bring that to our mind. But he knew God's Word. But here's the big thing. He was going to live God's Word. He didn't just, the power behind the word wasn't just that he quoted it and knew it, but that he was committed to keeping it.
Amen.
The Bible is like, you know, back in the day, you watch a vampire movie. Now, I hope you're not watching Twilight or any of that garbage. Now, that's junk.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, we were kids. You know. Now, how do you defeat a vampire? Back in our day, it was with a cross. You could defeat him with garlic, too, but you'll defeat everybody with garlic. Or you won't have any friends. And silver's pretty costly. I wouldn't use silver bullets. Those are no good either. But it's like, you know, if you flash a cross, the vampire's like, ah. You know, look, if Satan comes to tempt you, don't say, look. Ta-da. Go ahead, flash your Bible with Satan. You know what he's going to say? He goes, oh, hey, that's one of those ones from Ohio, isn't it? That's where I got this one. Right, this is a good Bible right here. It does not fall apart. Schofields fall apart. I like the Oxford Bibles, but they always fall apart. Next thing you know, Genesis is split in half. This one's a good one. And Satan will say, yeah, I know that one. That one, you've had that one for like 6 years. And look, it's not red or anything. It's black. That's a manly color.
Come on, man.
It's not one of those, like, you know, pretty pony Bibles. Or what's a little kid one? Hello Kitty. Man, they put Hello Kitty on everything.
Yeah.
I think they have underwear for men that has Hello Kitty on it. Hello Kitty, really?
What's that mean?
I miss Karobi. Is that the frog? Hello Kitty. We need, like, you know what Hello Kitty needs? She needs to be goodbye doggy. Eat that stupid cat. Anyhow. Look at that thing. Do you know he doesn't fear it? If you hold it. He fears it when he knows that you know it and you're committed to obeying it. Other than that, you know what it is? Come on. As Christians, I don't believe in rabbit's foot. Feet. You only get one. A poor rabbit. How many rabbits in this world are rolling around because we have their feet? Sad. You know what? The Bible is not a spiritual rabbit's foot. It does nothing for you if you don't know what it says, you're not committed to obeying it.
Come on. Amen.
I just tell you, it's no good.
Yeah.
We have to be committed to it. And the power behind Jesus defeating Satan was he knew what it said, he was going to do what it said. That was enough to push Satan away. What was Satan's response? He fled in defeat. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Do what? Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? We just saw that. And he will flee from you. The devil is a beatable enemy. He is. He just is. Depends on us. You know, God gives us an invitation for us to meet with him every day in his word.
Amen.
I heard that, well, it was a couple years ago, the Prince of England, Prince William, got married. You know, I'm not into that stuff. I know how those things usually end up. But they have their big wedding. It's on television. I heard it was a pretty big shindig. There was only 1,900 people that were personally invited to the wedding. The invitations cost over $30,000. That's a lot of money. You could probably just print it out on a computer and they'd still come. Yeah, email. Should I could go? All that money, 1,900 invitations. I have a sneaking suspicion those 1,900 people that got that invitation showed up. Because after all, it's the marriage of loyalty. You know, we have an invitation each and every day to spend time with royalty.
Yeah.
It's in his word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you know, when we deny ourselves of that opportunity, we're denying ourselves of the ammunition we need to defeat Satan. Amen. He doesn't have to beat us. By the way, it's not just standing up on a chair and yelling, "In the name of Jesus, I tell you to get lost." That don't work. Jesus used scripture. And so let us make sure that we're people that get into the word of God. Let's pray.